I might ought to say also, lest I forget it, Brother Floyd sends his love to the congregation, and Brother Leroy too, the last time I talked to him. We have been looking, thank you, brother, at the subject of the perseverance of the saints. As I said, and I haven't done it yet, I should have brought some of the pamphlets. Back in the 70s, I wrote a pamphlet on this. It was called The Preservation of the Preservation of God's Persevering Saints, I believe it's something like I read it, titled it. This is no new subject with me. I've preached this for 30-some-odd years. No new subject among God's people. It's no new subject among Primitive Baptists. It is a central doctrine that our people have always held to. If you preach preservation at the expense of perseverance, it leads to licentiousness. If you preach perseverance at the expense of preservation, it leads to despair or self-righteous works religion. But our people have always called it perseverance because God's work is irresistible and effectual in the hearts and the lives of His people. We've looked at the definition. We introduced the subject. We looked at the elect, and only the elect are preserved, and only they persevere. We looked at that if any of the elect are lost, the whole plan and purpose of God fails. If any elect are lost, there is no comfort in the Word of God. And we were looking last Lord's Day at the elect persevere while being preserved. And I want to look at a few other passages on this, and then we want to look at the last point today, that the promise of glory is to the overcomer. All the promises are given to the overcomer. It is the perseverance of the saints that will cause God's people to continue to serve Him. We'll look first of all in John 10. We've looked at this several different times, but we'll look at it one more time and go on. I won't elaborate on this first verse so much, that the elect persevere while being preserved. The elect persevere while being preserved. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Now we have looked at this verse several times already in the context of these messages. I think it is quite obvious that not only do the sheep of God hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the sheep of God follow the Lord Jesus Christ, period. In fact, earlier in this verse, said they would follow Him, the Good Shepherd, and they would not follow another, that they will follow Him. And so we've elaborated on that. Go to John 14. John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, I want to pause there for just a moment. If you will remember, I won't turn there, But if you will remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian saints that he did not have to teach them to love one another, because they are taught of God to love one another. 1 John tells us that if we love the brethren, then the love of God is in us. Jesus Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Therefore, we're going to see that it is quite conclusive that the Lord's people will keep His commandments. Now, they won't keep them perfectly. We already know that. But the tenor of their life is that they're going to be keeping the commandments of the Lord. Perseverance is a very practical subject. God's people will persevere. They will persevere in holiness. They will persevere in trying not to gripe and complain. They will persevere in being content. They will persevere in any sin you put in there. Now, they may fight some more than others. They may be tempted with some more than others. But they will persevere. They will persevere. They will persevere in church attendance. They will persevere in obedience to the gospel. They will persevere in every minute detail, but they won't be perfect in everything. You say, "Well, now how are they going to do that?" Well, they're going to do that mostly under the preaching of the gospel. Under the preaching of the gospel. We find that the Scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. Is that not true? People argue about a lot of things. But you find me an unbelieving believer in the Bible. You find me a believer in the Bible under the New Testament economy that has not heard of Jesus Christ. You won't find one. Neither will you find a New Testament believer other than the thief on the cross, but what he was baptized. Every one of them. The first step of obedience to the gospel is baptism. Otherwise, you're not obedient to Christ. You can't even be classified as a Christian if you're not obedient to Christ. Doesn't matter what all the other things. And we find this throughout. In other words, church attendance, church giving, finances, husbands loving their wives, wives being submissive to their husbands, children in their relationship, in our relationship to the country as citizens of the state, and things of that nature. Everything forms around our perseverance. If we did what we wanted to do, we'd sit down and do nothing. Follow our own feelings. Please mom and daddy, brother, sister, husband, wife. You have to please God first. You have to please God first. So, well, how do I know I'm pleasing God? Are you doing what the Scriptures say? Like several years ago, I've said this several times. You know, Brother Zach was talking to this young lady that's going to marry a Muslim. So, well, you can't hook yourself up with an unbeliever. Well, God told me to. Well, God didn't tell her to do that. God never tells anybody to do anything contrary to the Scriptures. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what we feel. God never tells us to do anything contrary to the Scriptures. That's perseverance. That's perseverance. But anyway. And here, notice what our Lord said. These are the dying words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The night He was taken to be crucified, He was uttering these words. We stopped off at verse 15. Verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Notice, keeping the commandments and abiding with the Holy Spirit abiding with us goes hand in hand. See there? The Holy Spirit abides with His children. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye believers, know the Spirit of truth. Why? For He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Now that word, comfort, is different from the other word, comfort. You know what this word, comfort, means? It means orphan. You see, God doesn't bring a child of His out of a state of unregeneracy into a state of being regenerate and leave him alone. And let him go through the world making it the best that he can. I used to believe that junk. I used to believe that. That's what I was taught. That God, Christ died for you. And God makes sure that you'll have a home in heaven. But you may miss out on a bunch of stuff down here in this world. That's left up to you. That's heresy. I'm here to declare that's heresy. This verse of Scripture says, the Holy Spirit will not leave you as an orphan. He's going to come with you. He's going to dwell with you. And He's going to be a Spirit of truth. He's going to lead you into truth. You say, how much truth is a child of God going to know? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not prepared to say that. You know why? God doesn't say. God doesn't say. And I'm not going to speculate. And I'm not going to argue. But I will argue that they're not going to be orphans. I will argue that because that's what the Word of God says. They're not going to be left alone. I will come to you. Jesus Christ said, I will come to you. He's already said, my sheep are going to come to me. He said, I'll come to you. I'll know you. You'll know me. There's people that argue against that today. And they're arguing against the clear teaching of the Word of God. Clear teaching of the Word of God. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. How are they going to see Him? By faith. By faith. He didn't say, well, you might see me, and there might be some that won't ever see me. Or there's some that won't see me. He said, ye see me. He didn't say, you will see me in the resurrection. He said, ye see, present tense, ye see me. See that? Clear as anything. Ye see me. The world does it, but you do. Because I live, ye shall live also. That's future. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Ye shall know that I'm in my Father. You'll know that I'm in you. You'll know that you're in me. I don't see how you can get any plainer. Say, well, there's a lot of children of God out there. They just don't know the Savior. That's contrary to what our Lord said. Isn't that plain? Just as plain as nose on your face. Ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. A man that's out here living in the world, rebelling and living in a state of rebellion. He said, oh, I know the Lord. No, he doesn't. Contrary to Scripture. several years ago when the Sodomites had their parade in Memphis, Tennessee. They carried their signs that Jesus loves them. That's not true. That's not true. A man can't be a Sodomite and live in sodomy and love the Lord. It says so right here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. A sodomite is not keeping the commandments of the Lord. He's in total denial of the Scriptures. Total denial of the Scriptures. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You say, well, maybe God manifested himself to them. You find me another Scripture anywhere in the Scriptures where a man is living in sin that God manifested himself to. You say, what about Lot? Lot was living in Sodom, but Lot was not a Sodomite. And it says that where he was living, that it vexed his righteous soul day by day. There's a little bit difference. A little bit difference. You say, well, Lot committed incest with his daughters. No, he didn't. His daughters committed incest with him. They got him drunk. He didn't know what was going on till he woke up. Now, he was wrong for getting drunk. And it was wrong for the incest that was committed. And Lot, if he had obeyed and not gone off into Sodom, might well have avoided that situation. But we need to realize and read the Scriptures carefully. We need to read the Scriptures carefully. And if you play with the world like Lot did, you're going to be mighty well burned like Lot was burned. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. Say, well, I believe in perseverance. So God's just going to work in me and I'm just going to, you know, it's all going to work out. You believe in perseverance, you're going to be living in obedience to the commands of the Lord. You're not going to be going off doing your own thing. Judas, verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. There were two Judases. One was a good one. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You want to know how to see God? It's not by sitting around in the wilderness or up on a mountaintop having dreams and visions. Listen. Note and read it well. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, my Father and I, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. I'll just stop there. I think it's pretty obvious what Jesus believed his sheep were going to do. They're going to love him. They're going to keep His commandments. And they're going to strive to live holy. And they're going to do that under the influence of the gospel ministry. That's the reason I, as a minister, continue to preach and continue to make daily illustrations. I'll preach about dress. I'll preach about movies. I'll preach about the world. I'll preach about sin. I'll preach about any and everything that is contrary to the Word of God. People say, well, that's not your business. Well, I can tell you this right now. My business is your happiness and your communion with God, and it will only be in submission to Him and His Word and the authorities that He has given. And that's the only way that any child of grace is going to have peace with Christ. Peace with Christ. There's no peace with the world. There's no peace with sin. There's no peace with the devil. There's no peace with yourself. There may not be peace with family. But there will be peace with Christ. Jesus and His commandments are number one. Jesus and His commandments are number one. And I'm here to tell you that any time you violate what you are quite confident the Scriptures teach, you will not be happy. I never have been. I never have been. You say, well, I want to get along with so-and-so. You may get along with so-and-so, but you won't be happy in your soul with God. You know it, and I know it. Unless your heart is hardened against sin, or against God. Hardened in sin. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's plain. That's plain. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode. We're going to come and live with that individual. God's just not going to come by and make a visit with you on an occasional basis. You're going to live with Christ. And He's going to live with you. And the Father's going to live with you. And you're going to have communion and fellowship with Him. John 15. Just read one there. This is the elect persevere while being preserved. John 15:14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, if you don't do what He's commanded, you're not His friend. Are you a friend of Christ? You answer that. You bow down on your knee and you talk to God and you answer that question. You say, well, give me some help. I'm not going to give you any help. You answer that question. I may lead you astray. But I believe the Holy Spirit that is abiding in you will let you know how much you are a friend of Christ. More than I can. Jesus made many statements. He didn't explain them. Preachers try to explain them. Preachers explain them away a lot of times. Jesus just left them there. That's what we need to do. You say, are you saying I'm not His friend? I'm not saying anything. Other than this, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And I'm just asking, are you a friend of Christ? Are you doing what He's commanded you? Now immediately somebody won't say, well, what are you doing? That's not the question. The question is not what I'm doing. That's the question to me before God. But the question to you is, what are you doing? Now we're going to switch. Go to our last topic. Probably take the rest of this and this afternoon. The promise of glory is to the overcomer. People say, oh, I'd like to have assurance. I'd like to have a promise that I'm one of the Lord's. What is that promise to the overcomer? You say, is that the only promise? No, but this is one promise. Romans 2 first. We're going to go to the obscure and go on to the more clear. Romans 2. In Romans 1, basically the Gentiles were proven to be depraved. Romans 2 mainly proves the Jew to be depraved. It's hard to find a place to start. But I guess I'll begin at verse 3. I'm really backing up to get to the verse that I want to get to, but I want to do that to hopefully it'll make it more understandable. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise, in other words, what he's saying, you do things, and you condemn others for doing the same thing you're doing. You think you're going to get by? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And now he's going to give a description. To them, now here's, he's going to render, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he's going to give them eternal life. But unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, then they're going to get indignation and wrath. You see that? Now all I wanted was verse 7. The promise of eternal life is to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Those who are living in a way that is in agreement to the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ, by patient continuance. Patient continuance. You remember the word patience? It means endurance. It means to this individual that just keeps on plugging along at it. Not the racehorse that after he's run the track has to be put up for a rest. But like that old ox that just keeps on getting it day after day after day after day after day after day. Isn't that what life is? Get out of bed. Oh boy, I wish I could just feel good and feel great. Oh, I just wish the Lord would just come and revive me and rejuvenate me. And I'd just like to feel better. Just getting out of bed. Aching, hurting. Wanting to crawl back in bed. Getting up. Taking a shower. Oh, you feel a little better? Oh, now I got to go fix breakfast. Now I got that old drive to work. Or I've got dishes to wash, a house to clean. Can't get it all done. Oh, better read my Bible. I don't feel like it. Probably won't need to do me any good. Why even read? No, I need to read. If the dishes don't get washed, I still need to read the Bible. I need to spend some time. So somebody said, well, the devil says it's not going to do any good. Don't listen to the devil. It's that patient continuance. You go in. Maybe you're going to wake up the wife. Morning, honey. How you feel? Oh, I don't feel like anything. And then you want to snap back at her. No, you need to love her. Or maybe he snaps at you. You want to snap back at him. No, you don't do that. What are we talking about? We're talking about endurance. We're talking about persevering. Talking about persevering. Any and every one of us can gravitate to the flesh. Any and every one of us can gravitate to the flesh. And if we wait till we feel like doing something before we do something, we won't do a stinking thing. I'm talking about perseverance. I'm talking about that continual, patient continuance in well-doing, seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. You see, for the children, a little simple thing as having the right spirit and taking out the garbage can make you happy. A husband loving his wife and treating her right can make him happy. A wife submitting to that husband the way she ought. An employee working in his job, doing it as unto the Lord, with the right spirit, makes all the difference in the world. If I go to work griping and grumbling and complaining, everybody around me is going to be miserable. One of the ladies at work, we have what's called instant messaging. You can start and it pops up and you can type back. And one lady popped up and sent me a message the other day and said, "How do you stand it?" I didn't know what she was talking about, and I had to take two or three phone calls and do a few other things before I could get back. And I popped back and said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "All the griping that goes on around." I said, "I let it go in one ear and out the other, and sometimes I let it roll back out the same ear it went in." I said, "I don't have time to lower myself to putting up with all that junk." She said, "Thanks, I needed that." See, if I listen to all that junk, if I talk about how I'm overworked and underfed, well, I'm not underfed, but you know what I'm saying. You know, everybody else, they're goofing off, they're doing this, they're doing that. They shoot rubber bands all around me. Bad, too. Married women shooting rubber bands. Men, not their husband, playing and joking. I just ignore it. Go on. You know why? God put me there to work as a slave to Whirlpool. I thank God I have a job. If I start gravitating to that other route, I am miserable. Now I'll go home, everybody else will be miserable. Every day I walk through the door, my children say, "Daddy, how's work?" At my worst, I just say, "It was a rough day." And that's all I say. I don't want to bring that garbage home. That has to do with perseverance. That has to do with everyday life. See, we're not to be Christians in the confines of these walls. And I don't stand here raising my voice. And eternal truths weighing heavy on my soul for you to let it go in one ear and out the other. I cannot live your life for you. I cannot make you be obedient. When I first started preaching, I thought it was my job to make people be obedient to the gospel. I was in bondage. I cannot help one single individual that doesn't want to hear what I have to say. That's your job. You persevere. You persevere. You say, what makes you right and everybody else wrong? Well, first of all, I'm not right and everybody else is wrong. But I will say this. I believe this congregation knows me well enough that I never come to you except with, thus saith the Word of God. And if you can prove me contrary to the Word of God, I will say, okay. Well, what I'm trying to get across is that patient continues. That day by day by day grind. Some of my little children have already memorized Psalm 46. If I was a full-time minister, I could have already memorized Psalm 46. I'm still working on Psalm 46. I don't have that time to, but I'm still working. And I'm not going to give up by God's grace until I memorize Psalm 46. I want to be able to tell Brother Herb Hatfield that his preaching was not in vain. Something got accomplished. He asked us to do that. And I purpose in my heart to try to do it. I've encouraged you, whether you do it or not, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to get mad at you. If you never memorize, if you say, well, I'm working on something else, I'm going to say, that's fine. Just keep working. I don't want you to feel guilty if you're not doing it. But I want to encourage you too. Hebrews 10. We're going to go back to our text. What's the topic? The promise of glory is to the overcomer. Hebrews 10. The inspired Word of God in Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's what God said. God doesn't have any pleasure in him who draws back. But then notice the promise. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The promise is to the believer. The promise is to the overcomer. The promise is to the one that keeps on keeping on. I hate using that term. It's a worldly expression, but I don't know any other way of getting it across sometimes. Notice, we are not of them who draw back. You see, have there not been times you said, I'm just going to quit? I'm just going to give up? Well, I know you have. But how come you haven't? Because God keeps working in you. God keeps working in you. He won't let you give up. You can't give up. You can't quit. You know why? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You say, well, maybe one child of God can just rebel so much and he won't ever come back. Hebrews 12 says that God will chasten His